The Production Expert Podcast with Russ Hughes and Julian Rogers.
Well, good evening and welcome to Production Expert Podcast number 440. It's October 5th, 2020. I'm Russ Hughes.
I'm Julian Rogers.
And I'm Sarah Carter.
And we've got some great deals this month from Wave, Synchro Arch, Universal Audio, RSPE, Editor's Keys and Avid on our deals page. Check out the link in the podcast notes. Let's get to some talking points. These are sponsored by our friends at Arturia.
Hello, experts and listeners. Pro Tools Expert Talking Points is brought to you with the support of Arturia.
Arturia has a wide selection of software effects, including three compressors, three filters, three preamps, and three delays you'll actually use. The latest release, Three Delays You'll Actually Use, includes Delay Tape 201, Delay Memory Brigade, and the unique and experimental Delay Eternity. A bundle of selected effects called the AudioFuse Creative Suite is included with all AudioFuse audio interfaces. Follow the link in the podcast article or visit arturia.com to find out more on the effects you'll actually use.
What do you think the guarantee is on the Eternity plugin?
I think you've done that one before.
I haven't done that one before.
I haven't done that one before.
Trust me, I'd remember if I'd made that joke before. But it has to be longer than lifetime, doesn't it?
Gosh. That's a very, very long time.
Yeah.
We could get into arguments about tautologies if they say, is it if it's for all of eternity?
Yeah.
Because anyway, it turns out.
Like flat earthers have offices all around the globe. That kind of stuff. Is that what you
exactly
mean?
Exactly that kind of stuff. I think we should move on.
Anyway, if you're not a flat earther, then you're going to have a smart recording studio. And Sarah thought she'd like us to talk about that. Sarah, what did you want us to talk about? She said, you put an email and I can't find the email now.
Yeah. It came off the back of your article that you wrote for the blog at the weekend, which was basically where you were talking about how you'd rearranged. Well, you had to strip down your studio and rebuild it because you moved everything around. And in that process, you got rid of a load of clutter and crap that had been getting in your way. And I thought that was kind of interesting to perhaps talk about a bit further, because I always like having a look at how other people set up their studios and if I can pick up some sort of new way of working within mine that's going to help me, then I find that sort of thing really interesting. So,
did you find anything interesting in mine apart from a pile of cables that were redundant and power supply units that were redundant?
Yes.
All sorts of crap behind there.
Yeah. And collecting dust, as you said. But what I quite like the analogy that you used about the kitchen triangle, was it?
Oh, yeah.
So
that came to me in a moment of writing genius.
So, yeah, that kind of struck me as being, well, you know, it made complete sense for the studio, really. And it's something that I'd done when setting up my studio, is just that concept of having everything close to hand that you use the most regularly.
Do you think, does everybody get, so we just explain the kitchen triangle for those that may not have actually ventured into a kitchen in their lives?
Probably
and
wise.
Understood the importance. I'm sure Julian won't even. Do you know what a kitchen triangle is, Julian? Has it ever been explained to you when somebody's made you a sandwich?
I've had a kitchen that's had a very, a very acute non-isosceles, I don't know exactly what you'd call it, triangle. But yeah, basically, if stuff's not in the right place, you can cover miles and miles and miles using a kitchen.
Well, more than that, you have a fridge in one corner of the triangle, you have your stove in the other corner of the triangle, and you have your sink in the other corner of the triangle. So you could, they're supposed to be equidistant, if possible. So you're always one step away from the three most important objects in the kitchen triangle. And as I thought about this smart studio thing, I thought the same thing, is that did you see that I took my rug out? Because the amount of times I'd be rolling between my desk and my keyboard, because my keyboard's to the left of me, and I'd get stuck on the rug. It's just stupid shit.
Silly
like
little
that.
Things like that. Yeah, yeah
exactly.
Yeah.
But you spent, so I'd spent 2 years never thinking, why didn't I take the rug away?
That you keep calling that bloody rug.
Yeah, worse than that. Yeah, it would just snag up. And it was like, because it doesn't look good on Instagram. It's that kind of shit. But James Richmond, God bless the man that keeps giving to various companies. But anyway, he showed a picture of his studio a couple of weeks ago. I spied a 19-inch rack USB 3 hub. I thought, where did you get that from? So I emailed him and said, James, where did you get that from? And he told me, and I bought one straight away because somebody was here on my studio today and we were doing some work. And you would think it was really silly, but the ability to just it works like a patch bay works in a studio. If I want to plug some USB and I just plug it in straight across from my desk, which is genius. Whereas otherwise you have to go back around the back of your desk,
yeah,
into your hub, or you've got some shitty hub that's sitting on the desk that keeps moving or getting cluttered up. But the other thing as well was the stupid things. Like I had like my 11 rack. So I've got a desk, for those who haven't seen pictures of it before, which has, you know, the kind of monitor shelf area of 19-inch rack. Mm-hmm. So it's got three U areas on the underneath the monitor shelf. And I used to have my 11 rack across on the right-hand side, which I thought was a smart idea. It wasn't, because every time I plugged my guitar in and wanted to edit something in the 11 rack, I had to lean across my desk and inevitably I'd catch the guitar on something, or it was just stupid. So it's right it's in the rack on the floor now, right next to me. So I lean right to do that. It was the same with the SSL channel strip that I've got. That's right next to where I stand to record vocals. It was just stupid little things like that. Do you know what I mean? So What about you guys? Have you done that kind of thing? Have you thought it through like that? Or do you constantly curse at your setup? Sarah, have you already gone through this process?
I think at the moment I've got everything dialed in quite nicely, but this is why I like to read articles like yours or, you know, videos on YouTube and just have a bit of a nosy, really, what other people do to see if I'm missing a trick. But yeah, I've basically tried to get everything that I use on a regular basis to hand. Things, you know, you bring in like headphones closer towards me. I use a subwoofer in the studio. I don't like to have it on all the time. So I've got a foot switch that switches the subwoofer in and out as I need to, but I've brought the foot switch up onto the desk just so that I can, you know, flick it on and off with my fingers.
I thought you did Pilates while mixing. That's why you put it on the desk to stretch the core.
Well, that would be a good thing, to be honest. I could do with the
tightening. So help me here. When you say foot switch to turn it on and off, how are you doing that?
It's, you know, like a really bog standard foot switch that you generally see in guitar setups.
What, like a square one? Off. A square, like a Boss FS1 or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
I've got one of those that does drop-ins on my fader port. But how does it work on a subwoofer? I'm trying to understand how it works.
Yeah, the subwoofer has an input for the switch, for the foot switch. And in fact, the foot switch I'm using came with the subwoofer.
So it's a latching foot switch.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So that makes it just really, really easy to
switch
on and off. Yeah.
Although I'm not a fan of subwoofers, I always think the off position is the best for me. But
yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, you know, that's why I like to have the foot switch to hand, so to speak.
Anyway,
so
don't get me on subs. I have the same view of subs as Julian has for SM57s. I think they're overrated and unnecessary in most cases.
Yes, I just like to hear what's going on.
Yeah,
down
you want
there.
To hear if there's any thumping going on, or there's like mic rumble and stuff like that, or truck going past you won't hear and stuff like that. But I get that. Jules, what about you, mate?
It's an interesting one for me, just because I'm being quite careful not to get too at home in the space that I'm working in, because I'm not staying here long term.
Yeah.
So because of this, it's kind of like it just needs to be good enough. And there's a few things that I've done that I do everywhere I go. I mean, there's some real strong advice that taking from the article that I'm going, yes, absolutely. Just things like labeling power supplies. Yes. because they all look exactly the same, and you might know what it is when you put it in, but you won't necessarily when you come back
and
to it.
And at 54, can you read the label stuck on the back of them? Well, even with glasses?
This goes back to my live sound days, just because I've got a drawer half full of white PVC tape and Sharpies. And like, I'm a fan of label makers. They're fantastic things, but I don't need one. I just need a bit of tape that's light coloured. Write it on, stick it on. It's good. You're sorted. But there's a few things kind of ergonomically. Apart from, I mean, we haven't talked about standing desks.
Because I was going to say, you're standing, aren't you?
I am standing. I mean, my standing desk is hilariously standing. Cheap and cheerful, just because I wanted to be able to stand up, just for health reasons, basically because I was finding that I was too sedentary, and I wanted to actually feel physically tired when I went to bed. And I'm exhausted every day now. It's great. Works. Mm-hmm. But all I've got is I've got a table and I've got some breakfast bar legs for 30 quid from some online supplier and screwed them on. And it is as unsophisticated as that. I needed to do a couple of things to get rid of the wobble, but that works. And I haven't got some kind of, don't feel
you
like
just
I'm
turn the
low.
You just turn the LFO down, don't you?
Well, yeah. this absolutely works for me. That's fine. The height's perfect. It's just happy coincidence I happen to be the right height for these legs. But there's some other stuff that's going on. I mean, there's a whole.
Could
thing
I just
to do
brag while we're on that during when you were just talking about the standing desk, I stood up and am now working in a standing position as I was sat down when we started the show because of my super standing. Adjustable standing desk.
Well, because you've got the option, but you see, I'm hardcore. It's
best thing I ever bought you, sir. It's brilliant. I love it. Everybody should get one.
I've got the No Mercy model. It's just like, it doesn't care how tired you are.
How tired you are, you're going to stand up.
Or you could
buy Ralph McTell's bar stool and work like that, couldn't you?
But there's a few things that go with that. One thing that, I mean, I was thinking what needs to be in specific places. And I mean, like I've got my rack. It's just a mobile rack put on top of a very small chest of drawers under the table to my left. But it happens to be exactly the right height because I just lean down and my hand naturally hits the my monitor controller, well, the level knob on my Red 4 Pre. But that's perfect, and I can swap inputs and replug headphones because I spend 90% of my time working on headphones in here. And that all works, and it's the perfect height for it. It doesn't matter that I can't see the display without standing back because I don't need to. I can see the illuminated buttons. I can swap between inputs. Interesting one that I've got, actually, which I've got into doing quite recently, is it's pretty quick to change what you're monitoring through your headphones. I mean, I can do it from software or off the front panel. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
But I find quite often, sometimes I want live monitoring of the mic with playback. Sometimes I only want playback. And I was finding I was switching between the two and whatever, and I thought, hang on a minute, I've got two headphone outputs. There's only me in here. So I've got one set up one way, one set up the other. And when I want to change, I just plug into the other headphone out.
Mm.
That's I don't know why I didn't think of that years ago. But
that's great. So basically, you've got two headphone settings and you just plug it into the different one.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like, well, why change it? I'm just going to go back again. So that one or that one. There's only me here. It's fine.
If you wanted to be super slick on that, you could have a little switch, couldn't you? And have the two outputs going into a little box where you flip the switch, and then you wouldn't even have to plug the headphones in and out of different sockets.
True, but you know, it's here and it's right. It is literally where
that would
my
be
hand
an over-engineered solution.
Down at my yeah, absolutely. There's some other things that in terms of kind of. Just making your life better. One thing is, I'm a big fan. No studio should be too permanent, and by the same token, no studio should be too tidy. Just because something that I always want is not my deep storage cable stash, which I mean we've all got way more cables than we need. But you know that box that you go to all the time? That should be in your studio and it should be very close to you. And then the ones you use all the time should be hanging up. And this is what I've got. I've got a USB lead, a mic lead, an instrument lead. Those just hanging off the corner next to a box which has got five or six mic leads in it, all my Bodge leads, my TRS to XLRs, all these kind of things you want all the time. And those important data leads. Like, you know, it's amazing how... In the same way that we all carry around a box of cables that we don't throw away because we'll need one of them immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing. Well,
yeah,
some of that box shouldn't, never mind, shouldn't be in the bin. It shouldn't be out the studio, just because I find I'm going in there all of the time. But it's kind of important to be sensible about these things and not have all of your stuff, you know.
Sarah, you took an intake of breath at one point when he said tidiness. Yes. Did I hear that right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm a bit.
Are you a bit OCD?
A little. Not medically, but certainly I do like tidiness and like having a tidy desk. For me is kind of essential to relax and to be able to get into my sort of creative mode.
Do you need to tidy before you can start? If it's not tidy.
Can I say?
Yeah.
Or does it just never not get tidy?
No, I do. I do keep it tidy. I've even got one of those silly little anti-static dusters.
Oh, wow.
That
okay.
I just kind of flick over things just to make sure. I just feel I can't settle down if...
I know what you mean. No, actually a better idea, and I learned this from kind of sort of like the Atomic Habits book. I think I introduced you to that, Sarah.
Yeah.
Is that I do everything the night before.
Right.
So my day is I reset my day. That it's the last thing I do each evening. So if I'm going for a run in the mornings, I get my running gear out and put it in front of the bedroom door before I go to bed. So the first thing I walk into when I come out of the bedroom is my running gear to remind me to do it again. And in the office, in the studio, I'll always clear my studio down and be ready for the next day, unless I'm on a project where I'm working through. Mm-hmm. So I always want to, basically, it's like cleaning the whiteboard down.
Yes.
I was going to say something very like that, only with me, it's like a Friday thing.
Oh, you do it once. You do it once a week on a Friday. Right.
That's what I aim for. I have to say, it doesn't always happen every. But yeah, it's a very, very healthy thing to come in fresh at it and go, you know. But I can't guarantee that.
Talking of tidy, though, you don't. I tell you one thing you probably should avoid, and I've realised that as I was doing the studio again, is cable tying everything into position.
No, it should never be untidy.
Because the minute you do that, you've got to pull it. You've got to pull that cable back out for something, or you've got to repatch a cable.
Velcro's great.
I use Velcros. I bought a shed load off Amazon for about. I bought these kind of like they're like 3 inches long, like that different colours.
Yeah.
And you can I screw them to the back of my unit, then I can put a load of cables in and then Velcro them in. Like that.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Don't ever... The worst thing is cable ties, isn't it? Like
get reusable cable ties. I've used those a lot.
They're fiddly.
Yeah,
I just want to take a knife to them. Yeah.
The trick's not to over-tighten them.
The best thing I did was I got these kind of telescopic neck lights that just clipped onto the back of my desk from Amazon. Certainly from IKEA, that are the ones that are like uplighters to the back of my wall in the studio. There's a reason for that, because you should always have light behind your monitor when you're working, if you know that's something to do with your eyes. So they double up because I've put them in such a position. I've got them in like an S shape. So they S and then shine at the wall, but they also double up as cable trays because I hang all the cables off them.
Yeah.
So the cables aren't on the floor. So it keeps hardly any cables on the floor. Things like that.
I've just thought of something. While we were talking about this, I'm looking at my setup here, and it's very Spartan indeed. It is literally a table.
You mean you wear a helmet and come in a big wooden horse when you come to work?
And I can... sparse is probably the word I was aiming for there. Never mind. And the thing that occurs to me is that if there's one issue that I get over and over again, it's that a great thing about having a tall... unfortunately, I'm no longer in a position where I can walk around the back of my... my desk, my table, my call it what you will. I used to be able to in my old room, but I can't here. But it's very easy just to dip underneath it because it's so high. It's kind of like, you know, it reaches sort of like the bottom of my ribs is kind of like the height of the table. So it doesn't take much. It's not a down on your knees job to go under the table and go and, you know, mess with cables. But the thing, do you ever get this thing where you're trying to run a new cable in and you pass it up around the back of whatever surface you're on, and then you go around and it's dropped down?
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, isn't that a bugger? So what I'm going to do, what I've decided to do, because this is nothing special, my table, is I'm going to get just like a wooden clothes peg and just screw it into the back edge so that I've got something I can just pop it into. Around the back.
I'm
going to try that, and if that works out, then you know that might be seeing the light of day somewhere. I'm trying to think of something more practical than a clothes peg, and I think a wooden clothes peg is gentle enough on a cable to be able to do it, but for, you know, I can't think of Anyway, inspiration strikes at the strangest times.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I had a really interesting. We had a family lunch yesterday with lockdown conditions applied. And my father-in-law was, because he built his own home for my wife. And there, when she was a little kid, they built a family home and they've lived there. And he said he realized about 10 years after building the family home, it was 90 degrees in the wrong direction. And because he'd lived in it, he'd worked out where the sun rose, where the sun went down, all those kind of things. And I think the reality is that what you should do is build a studio, because this comes out the back of me. My studio used to fire sideways. And people came and said it sounded great, and it did sound great. And Julia and I have got another discussion about this where I've now moved it and my monitors sound even better. That's not to say they didn't sound good before. They just sound better. But so, but it was about a number of things. But it's just that I think people should live with their setup, which is hard if you're kind of purpose building a studio. But and what's really annoying is I've now got 8 plugs on one wall that are behind a sofa that aren't being used anymore, because those plugs were put on that wall because that's where I was going to sit. So some of those things you have to make a commitment to from day one, but I really do think, so for example, I had my key, control, which is basically my monitor controller. It was on the pullout bit where your keyboard sits on my desk. And I realized bit by bit that was the wrong place. So I moved that after a week of this new setup as well. So I think you have to be open to, you're not going to get it right from day one, are you? That's my opinion of this, is it's going to take a great deal of time for you to start and keep adjusting, be fluid to it. Say, well, that isn't working. My dream would be to have my keyboard, my 88-note keyboard in front of my desk, so it was there all the time to start working on. But practically, that's quite hard to do, because then I have to do stuff that isn't involved with the keyboard sometimes.
I've been thinking about this since I've had the standing desk in, just because it's always been one of those things of like, what do you do with your... piano keyboard, musical keyboard, non-QWERTY keyboard.
Yeah.
And you see, I see all these desks. I've used these desks where there's like a slide out, thing underneath.
But it's the wrong height, isn't it?
It's the wrong height. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's either you're too high on the tabletop, and that's, bad from an RSI point of view, or you've got this thing digging in your knees, or, this is no good at all. Standing, things are actually a little different, and I think it could possibly work a little better.
So, I think it can work a little better. The other thing I did was, you might remember, I've got a Stream Deck, and I'd hardly used it. I kind of invested in it because they're not expensive. Where it's come into its own now, I'm using it like a real remote control when I'm sat at my keyboard recording, because my keyboard's 90 degrees to the rest of my setup because it's against a wall. And now I can sit on that keyboard and be tracking keyboard parts, and my Stream Deck is sat on top of it, and I've programmed in all the commands I need for when I'm sitting at the keyboard working, like play, rewind, loop, create a new track, metronome on and off, up and down tracks. And it's like a real hardware remote, like you used to have on a Fostex B16 or something. That's what it feels like. But it means I don't have to mess around with having my iPad over there. It's just a very useful remote to have over on the keyboard.
Or running across the room to a 2-bar count-off.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Yeah. 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 Especially when you're singing, that's the worst, isn't it? Because you get, you start, That's a nice breathy vocal you've got there. which seems to diminish. So what's your one thing, Sarah, do you think you've got in your setup that's kind of like, that you think has made the biggest difference in your smart, in your studio? Was it like Atomic Habits, lots of little things?
There have been lots of little things. Things like switching on the Do Not Disturb thing in the Apple Mac notifications.
Oh yeah, that was a Julian special. What, the alt click?
It might be. That could very well be a.
It's option click. The little thing in the top.
Yeah, option
right.
Click.
Switches on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, it does.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Well,
yeah,
mine's on. Mine's on 23.59 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah. I just found that I just used to get pulled away. My brain power was just pulled away off to whatever the last notification was. So that was a great thing for me to start doing. I'm much more focused because of that. But another thing that I did was because I make videos occasionally, and it was just such a faff having to pull everything. I had to think, right, well, today I'm going to make a video. But what I really wanted to do was just on the fly be able to go, oh, I want to record, I want to video this.
Yeah.
I want to do. But it meant I had to get everything out. I had to find the camera, set the stands up, plug everything in, find a spare PowerPoint that I could plug my camera's power supply into. Just, oh, and it was just, oh, I can't be bothered. But what I did was I found a video on YouTube showing this guy showing how he'd converted a multi-monitor desk stand, like a thing that would hold four screens if you wanted it to.
Yeah.
He converted it to hold a microphone, a DSLR camera on a little kind of telescopic arm. He used one arm for a big light for the video, obviously. And then the other arm was for his computer monitor. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. So I went out and found the equivalent to this thing he was using, and did the same thing. And I use two PC monitors, so I've got one monitor on top of the other, which I know is wrong because it means, you know, I'm looking up when I really shouldn't, but that's how it is for now. So I've got two PC monitors. I've got my boom arm on one of the other arms. And then on the fourth arm, I've got my DSLR all set up. So now I can just quickly, with a matter of 30 seconds, go into record and capture the thing, whatever it was that I thought would be great for a video. So that's been really great in terms of creativity. Just where you can make something easy, isn't it? It's just make something easy and you'll do it. And that's what that did. So yeah, that's my thing.
Jules?
I'm going to go back to the studio hardware-y kind of point of view, because if there's one thing that I wish I could change, but I'm just not prepared to do it, it's power is always a mess. Data and audio cabling is usually pretty good, but it's just the mess of power. And I wish there was a middle ground on distros, because a lot of people say, oh, you've got to have a UPS. And maybe you do, but actually, I'd given the choice between a UPS and a decent distro, I'd rather have a decent distro. But I've used those IEC ones, and I don't trust them at all. I've had too many kind of intermittent. You go close to one, you can hear it arcing on the contacts, and it's like, that's rubbish. But have you seen the PowerCon, the Neutrik PowerCon style power connectors?
Yes.
The blue
yeah.
ones with the 90-degree lugs. Really expensive stuff, and too expensive for me to just go, okay, I'm just going to convert all of my stuff. But if I had all of my stuff running on a PowerCon distro, I'd be a happy guy. I really would. With just a ton, because we've all got a ton of 13 amp to C6 to whatever they're called IECs. If I just had those with PowerCons on the end, but that would cost hundreds to sort out. So yeah, that's something that's planting my flag of going, one day when I'm just going, well, what should I spend that on? I'm never going to do that, actually. Who am I kidding?
It's funny you should mention power, because what I was also able to do when I did the reorganization was now, it happened, it was the case before, so I don't know why I didn't do it. I think, oh, I know what it was, because I now use a laptop, which basically is two Thunderbolt cables, and I pull it out at the end of the day and it's clear. Once that's out, I can flip a power switch and switch the entire studio off, but it doesn't turn any of my hard drives off with power. My hard drives just power down because they're not connected anymore through the Thunderbolt cables. So it's great now. I can power down the studio in four switches, which is good as well. Because I used to have to mess around. I'd look out from the house at night, because mine's across the garden, and I'd see that my monitors were turned on, all the lights were on and stuff like that. And I know it doesn't burn that much juice, but we all are trying to save the planet and stuff like that. So that's nice now. So that's good. I have to say, I bought a TV as well, so I'm using a TV as a monitor. And I got some really good help from Mo Volans. Some of you will know who he is, about how to set that up. Because, you know, often you plug... Have you ever plugged a computer into a TV and it looks a bit ropey? Never looks like using a real monitor. And he explained to me about using game mode. So it gives you high frame rate. So it looks like a regular monitor. Yeah. That's why. And so I've got a big 43-inch monitor, and then I've got my grading monitor because I do video work as well. And I needed... The trouble with TVs as monitors, generally their colour matching isn't very good. Which is, again, sorry to sound like a broken record, but it's lots of little things. It's just a lot better. I like your idea about the headphones though, Jules. That's a great idea. I might try that trick myself, is to have basically two headphone setups and then just by switching the socket, having the second mix, because that is very useful.
Solution hiding in plain sight, that one.
Well, they all are normally, aren't they? But anyway, so I think we can all agree that the thing about the article, and I put it in the article, it's amazing how many little things can make a big difference, isn't it? That you think, oh, why didn't I do this years ago? So it's just nice. It just feels like I've got an environment I can work in without having to. I just got fed up of messing around before I tried to start any projects. And by the time I'd messed around, I'd lost the will to even do the project. So it was kind of self-defeating. The other thing I did, nice hack, if you saw a picture, I kept wondering where to put my guitar leads when I was working with guitars, and my guitars hang on the wall. And it came to me in a moment, the cables now hang behind the guitar headstock on the wall with the guitar.
Yeah.
Stupid little idea like that. It's like, why didn't I think of this years ago? It's just a really cool place to put
them.
Anyway,
in the same place.
And yes, exactly.
Grab them at the same
grab
time.
The guitar, grab the lead. In fact, somebody came over this morning to do some. We did some recording this morning. I said, I can't find my guitar cable. He said, is that it? And it was hanging behind the guitar on the wall. Yeah, it was so in plain sight, I couldn't see it. Anyway, Julian, competitions. It's a busy one, isn't it? It feels like supermarket sweep this month.
We have no fewer than four. Running in October. They've got stuff from Krotos, Slate, and Townsend Labs. We have...
What's the Townsend Labs one? Let's just highlight that one.
Yeah, look out for that. Yeah. That's a Halloween special. Download and remix 5-time Grammy Award-winning producer Cassidy Turbin's track, Spell of Love, for a chance to win a Townsend Labs L22 microphone system worth over £1,300. We love those.
In their Halloween giveaway. That's
absolutely.
Scary.
Download
really
the
scary.
Session.
It's shocking.
Remix the track.
any other puns we can make out of a Halloween giveaway?
The Pro Tools Expert podcast is created using Source Connect Now from Source Elements. Register now for your free account at now.source-elements.com.
If you've ever tried to do interviews over the internet with apps like Skype, you'll know how hit and miss the audio quality and connection can be, and even on a good day, it isn't really good enough for a long-form interview. We now use Source Connect Now, which offers ISDN equivalent quality audio using a Chrome browser, so there's no software to install. To get your free account, follow the link in the podcast notes.
Let's get on to Find of the Week. We don't have James here to do his stuff, but... Anyway.
RSPE Audio is up and running, remotely. Their team's set up and working from the safety of their homes, and their sales staff are available by phone, live chat or email to receive and process orders. They have everything you need to build or upgrade your home studio and ensure you can continue to work from home. If there's anything they can do for you, please don't hesitate to reach out or shop online at rspeaudio.com. Plus, of course, the link's in the podcast notes.
Find of the week. Sarah?
Yes, well, it's kind of leading on, really, from... what we've been talking about, and that was having my headphones close to hand so that you know, I can just grab, and they're there, they're out of the way, they're tidy, but they're still accessible. So I found these headphone hangers that clamp to the edge of your desk or to a desk, your desk leg, or even the your speaker stands, so they'll clamp vertically as well as horizontally. So they're really kind
I'm
of
clicking as you're speaking.
Yeah. So and they're really well made. They're quite small, but they're metal and they quite neatly clamp to the edge of the desk.
Oh, that's quite cool. I'm looking at it now on Amazon, $12.99.
Yeah, quite cheap. Not the cheapest of that idea, but once you actually get one, they're really quite substantial.
Do they not fall off? They look a bit shallow.
No, not at all. I've not had any issues. I say I've got two because I've got two sets of headphones that I use, and I've not had any issues at all. And they just the other option was to get like a big headphone stand on the desk, and I didn't want that. That was just taking up too much room. And these little hangers do the job nicely. And if it wasn't headphones you're wanting to hang up, you've been talking about cables. It'd be really good to hang cables on as well.
There is a hack actually for what you've done there with your headphones. And we did it. It was on Studio Hacks, which is if you want, you can double up on two problem solving things in one go. Basically, if you clamp your guitar capo on the side of the desk,
yeah,
then you can use it as a headphone hanger when you're not using it.
Right.
But you've got to make sure that you're using your capo when you're not using your headphones and vice versa. Otherwise, it kind of fails at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jules, what's your find of the week?
Oh, I've been meaning to sort out my piano situation for ages. I've had a Roland FP7 for a very long time. I love the keyboard. It's all about the keybed with something like that. You can forgive a poor sound for a nice feeling keyboard. And I've been doing that for a long time, but I've known for ages that it's the piano sound really isn't up to much. I do think, however, have a digital piano with speakers in your studio, and then you can play the piano without touching the rest of the studio. It is brilliant. Anyway, finally sorted it out and got two E instruments actually. The Session Keys Grand S and the Session Keys Grand Y, a Steinway and a Yamaha. Respectively.
That they'd say that.
Yeah, but I can.
You can.
I was really surprised how strong my preference for the S was. I won't call it Steinway, the S. Nothing wrong with the Y, but I absolutely ticks all the boxes. I'm not a tweaker with pianos. I just want to be able to play it and just go, this sounds nice. I mean, I don't tweak an acoustic piano. It sounds like it sounds, and that's pretty much how it is with that. And the default patch on the S is like, oh, this is it. Nothing else to do. So absolutely love that.
And what's actually nice about them, I know there's pianos because they're people who make them, I work with. What's nice actually, if you do try the presets, it can sound like a lot of different pianos, although it's all based on one sample. Library. Do you know if you use the presets, you can get some pretty mashed up sounds in there and all sorts of like big organic sounds as well. They're really good, the Session Keys series.
What I was doing, I was doing a particular test actually, just because on my Roland piano, you don't notice the loop points particularly, but if you're playing quite crunchy jazz chords, if you're getting your sharp nines out and stuff, certain voicings, you really hear them so clearly.
Oh, really?
It's amazing.
It messes with the loops.
Because they beat off each other in a particular way and it brings it out. And there was one chord in a particular thing that I was playing that was just going, oh, that's unlistenable. And it was...
We need to do an article, which is which chords to play to see if you've got good loops.
Well, this is what I was
doing,
because this is what I tested with this and went, and obviously it's...
So what chord are we talking about here?
Oh, now you're asking. It's the penultimate chord in a version of like Someone in Love that I play. And it's, I'd have to get back to you on exactly what it is.
You play Someone in Love, do you? Is it in a movie? Anyway, my find of the week, save your blushes, Julian, is Julian did this brilliant video and he's going to go, oh, it was based on someone else's. But forget all that, Julian. You're as bad as my wife. Whenever I compliment my wife, she tells me that I'm wrong. So just shut up, Julian, and let me say this. He did a great video, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Sarah, where he set up Pro Tools in such a way that you've basically got 808 style programming on the timeline in Pro Tools. It takes a bit of setting up and a bit of messing around, but once it's set up, it's a preset you can keep and save and just load it back in. Did you watch it? It's genius.
I haven't seen it.
It gives you basically step sequencer input like an 808 for drum machines or sequences or anything. So go and watch that video.
And that's because of the folder tracks.
No, not only because of the folder tracks, because of another trick he's got with piano roll, where he's selecting just one note in piano roll for each part of the drum machine. So he's only select. So in one lane, all you've got is the bass drum. In another lane, all you've got is the snare drum. In another lane, all you've got the hi-hats. Now, I asked Julian, I don't know if you've checked it, whether you could paint them across really quickly as well. Don't you must be able to, Jules. I think there's a setting. Is it alt and drag?
Yeah, the thing I was talking about when I was sort of saying no to was that because it looks like a piano roll, but it's not. It's made up of lots of lines of separate tracks. what I want to do is I want to use the marquee off the pencil tool, and you can't because it's not all on one track. So you have to use the selector tool if you want to select a range. That's what I was saying. But yeah,
it was more about, can I draw a load of hi-hats, 16 hi-hats?
Yeah,
in
I mean,
really
use the pencil tool and it'll do it to the quantized length. I mean, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it should yeah, do. Yeah. But rather than just...
No, the line tool. That's what you use for that.
Use the line draw. And it should draw them in as long as you've got the quantized value. If you set the quantized value, it should do it the right value as well, shouldn't it? Yeah, it should do. If you set 8 quantizers and use the line tool, it should just put 8 hi-hats in there.
I should know the answer to this, really, shouldn't
I? You should. Pro Tools expert my ass. Anyway. We can say it, you can't. Anyway, on that encouragement, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
Good night.